Before we start the interview, here is our disclaimer. This interview is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The Daily Gold has received a fee to cover the cost of production and distribution. The Daily Gold has complete editorial control over the interview and final recording. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Gold podcast. With me today is Ryan King. He is the Senior VP of Corporate Development at Calibre Mining. He's a member of the Calibre Mining Management Team. And Calibre is a company that has done very well in the last couple of years, even in the face of struggles for our industry. So I'm really excited to have Ryan on to give us an update on the company, what we can expect moving forward. And Ryan, first things first, I know this isn't the most important question, but how do you pronounce the name of the company officially? Is it Calibre or Calibre? Because I've heard it both ways.
Well, hi, Jordan, and hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for taking the time to discuss Calibre or Calibre. Now, look, I mean, when it comes to the name, I would say our roots would be Calibre. But as we transition to be, you know, 60% of our NAV in North America, I think it would be logical for those of us that are north of the border to say Calibre. So really, it goes both ways. I hate to say it, how we pronounce it, honestly, it depends on where we are at that specific point in time. You know, if we're down in Nicaragua, it'll be Calibre. If I'm in the project in Newfoundland, it'll be Calibre. So we welcome all aspects of how you pronounce the name. But yeah, typically, it's not one of those things that we get hung up on.
Okay, great answer. Very inclusive. Now, getting to the more important matters. For those listeners who are unfamiliar, maybe you could just give us a quick synopsis of your projects, what's going on, Nicaragua, I should say, then Nevada, and of course, the most recent acquisition in Newfoundland.
Absolutely. So yeah, no, Calibre is a growing gold producer. We started in Q4 of 2019. We acquired assets and partnered really with B2 Gold. B2 Gold is our largest shareholder at just a little under 15%. And we acquired assets that at the time in Central America, we are Nicaragua based. At the time, we were anticipating being about a 50, 60,000 ounce a year gold producer. We've got two fully paid for facilities, the Limon Mill and Libertad Mill. And Libertad was actually heading towards closure when we acquired the assets because it had run out of resources and reserves on the property. Fortunately, we work, our CEO has a ton of experience in this space. He was 30 years with Newmont. His role was optimizing, lowering costs, and basically looking at new ways to create value within the space at Newmont. And when he left there, he had built up his role and responsibility. He was overseeing probably about 15,000 people. Probably about 8 different Asia Pacific operations. And so Darren Hall, entered Darren Hall into this mix here as chief executive officer, a tremendous pedigree, experience, and expertise in operations. He looked at what we had here in Central America and said, well, there's probably a way where we can utilize both facilities without having to sink more capital. And so that's where we come to the hub and spoke approach, where we've been able to permit, mine, and haul material and utilize that sunk capital, which mining companies have really never been very good at. They always want to build more things. So Darren looked at the infrastructure we had in place and Nicaragua as a whole, a very mining-friendly jurisdiction, good infrastructure in place, excellent workforce. So we've been able to permit. We've been able to take assets from permit to plant in less than 18 months. We've been able to increase reserves. This allowed us a strong operating cash flow to then venture out and look at additional opportunities to diversify the portfolio. So we started in Nicaragua. We then acquired Fiore Gold in 2021 to have a Nevada presence. Not huge, but 40 to 45,000 ounce a year gold production, large land package in the Battle Mountain Eureka Trend development stage project, as well as a 2 million ounce measured and indicated deposit in Washington in the United States as well. So a fairly diverse and robust base there. And then most recently, as you've alluded to, is acquiring Marathon Gold to give us the 5 million ounce, well over 60% construction stage open pit gold mine in Newfoundland. So very exciting opportunity for us to really diversify the portfolio and grow into be a mid-tier gold producer.
Okay, so let's talk about Newfoundland, the Valentine Lake Gold Project there.
Mm-hmm.
You're building that. Give us some more details on where you are in the build, how that's going. And then secondly, I want to ask about the recent capital raise and the financing. But
sure.
I think first you can talk about where you are in the construction.
Absolutely. So we closed the deal with Marathon Gold on January 24th. And, you know, Calibre had been looking at opportunities in the space. And what we were actually looking for was another gold producer that we could merge with to immediately in one step create a quality mid-tier gold producer. And we were not having luck doing that, whether it be valuations that didn't make sense or various management teams that just couldn't come together and create that type of value. We started to look down cap a little bit in something that was or opportunities that could be in production in the next 12 to 24 months. And this is where the screening of that process identified Marathon Gold. And, you know, Marathon made the decision to build a mine there in, I guess it would have been probably about Q3 of 2022. They raised $150 million through equity. They got a $225 million Sprott Resource Lending Facility in place. And they went from feasibility study into construction. So they started to progress with the three pit, a 2.7 million ounce reserve. And it's a total resource, all categories of 5 million ounces. So they started that in Q3, Q4 of 2022. And we had been following the progress of that, but really what brought us the attention of that opportunity was in the summer of 2023. Even though gold prices were decent, I think we're talking like 2,000 to 2,100 in that ballpark. It was not getting relative valuations, I think, even across the space compared to peer groups, for the stage that it was at, as well as the jurisdiction that it's in. You know, other Canadian assets of this ilk command a $1 to $2 billion valuation. Now, it wasn't in production yet. And I guess the looming uncertainty around that was the funding. There was known to be a additional capital required to complete the project. You know, analysts on the street had anticipated that it was going to be very likely 50 Canadian to 100 million Canadian additional capital required to finish the project. And so I think that weighed on the junior developer that was trying to build a massive, well, in fact, Atlantic Canada's largest gold mine, right? And so, and we had all seen that there was no funding available. There was no equity capacity available. You know, resource funds had been seeing outflows versus inflows. So there was a situation there where you could see that Calibre, you know, fortunately, we were in a good position. We had been generating strong operating cash flow, free cash flow, and we had built up about $100 million of cash. So it's tremendous to see the evolution of where we have been to where we grew into. Your Q3 of 2023, $100 million in cash and doing about 250,000 to 275,000 ounces a year of annual gold production. This presented an opportunity, I think a win-win for both parties. Marathon required some additional cash. Calibre had the availability to provide that cash and then had the operating cash flow to then supplement additional requirements. So very attractive opportunity. And I believe a lot more resources and reserves will be discovered there. But before we get into that, when we acquired the project, I think it was a little over 50% through construction, you know, so the tailings management facility has been built and signed off by third-party engineers, right? The big aspect of this that got us comfort was the fact that the a big portion, if not most of, the earthworks had been completed. And that's where, from a geotechnical perspective, you can see large capital cost blowouts if there's a miss or a mistake in the geotech or the earthworks. But this was, essentially done from the earthworks perspective. The tailings finished, all the foundations and footings for the mill, the grinding mill in place. So no, we felt very comfortable going into this, even though when we did our due diligence, we said, well, we have an understanding of this project and we worked through a bunch of diligence. We anticipated at the time that the capital cost was going to very likely be somewhere between 100 Canadian to 150 Canadian, in addition to what Marathon had thought. I mean, this is kind of typical when you look at a junior developer, looking at all the different ways to ensure that they can get to the finish line. And in some cases, you're not building a Rolls-Royce, but you're building a, Volkswagen Rabbit to be able to get it to completion. It still works, but maybe not to the best, capabilities, right? And so we knew that it was going to be additional capital, even though it was already through 50% of the construction. But the biggest concern from our perspective was the resource and reserve model, that it holds together, as well as, okay, the earthworks are done, so we can feel comfortable about that. And then you're just talking about, steel mechanical piping, inflationary item, sure, but nothing that could go, oh, this is another $150 million of CapEx, right? You're talking about electrical and instrumentation, those types of aspects of the project now, power, hydroelectric power is to site and connected to the substation on site. So it's now going to start working its way through the whole site. So we're off diesel generation. The mill facility is now completely enclosed. So we're starting to, and we've signed some pretty big contracts over the last little while, including this, most recently, the Reliable Controls Corporation. And, that wasn't in place with Marathon. So you had a projects team and then what was to be an operating team. And, one of the things we're working through now is making sure that we're operational ready, getting operational readiness in place. And that included this RCC, in which case, in fact, Darren has worked with RCC in the past. This is a group that does pre-commissioning and commissioning. So we're starting that work now to ensure that all the bugs are worked out of the system such that we can, deliver on time as per expectations, rather than, getting to that finish line, working through your project, your scope, schedule, and budget, and then, okay, now we've got to operate. So it's kind of dovetailing the two together, the projects team and the operating team, to ensure that everybody knows what's going on, what the issues may or may not be, and working through them as we finish the build. So yeah, all in all, Jordan, feeling really good at this stage about the stage that we're at. We've been talking about H1 of 2025 for first gold production and then a ramp up. So things are at this stage in line with our expectations. The mills are at site, the motors, the critical large equipment, they're all on in Newfoundland at Grand Falls, Windsor. So in a really good position, and it's going to be a busy spring and summer, but really looking forward to see how this all comes together. And right now, Darren has spent quite a bit of time there, several weeks at a time, and he'll be going back there shortly. But this is where his expertise comes in, roles and responsibilities, keeping people accountable to ensure that we can, everybody's aligned to deliver on what their expectations are. And that's critical in this stage of, well, any stage, but that's going to be critical going through this project stage into construct into production and then delivering those expectations. So everything right now is lining up, timing is good. And we're working through an update on the project, right? As we've probably heard, and we've disclosed in Q2 here this year, we'll be providing a kind of a rebaseline of the project, such that, now Calibre has owned it for a few months. We've worked through all of the aspects that we want to add to the project or update based on what we now know and our expertise coming bringing to this project. And I would imagine that's probably going to be sometime in May that we'll come up with that update. And really what it is, Jordan, and we've kind of talked about this, is more of a what is the final capital, the initial capital to complete this project and then start production, right? And so I at this stage, I know the team is crossing T's and dotting I's and working through all the details, but I don't think it's too far off from our initial when we were, our initial due diligence. I don't think it's too far off from where we anticipate to be.
Yeah, any just two, maybe two or three follow-ups on that. And by the way, that was great info. That was a fantastic answer, by the way. How much funding do you think is left to complete the actual build? I know that you guys, with the capital raise you just did, you probably have over 180 million in cash. I mean, give us some color on how much more you think is required to see this thing through.
Well, if you were to take that scenario, right, the scenario of call it 100 to 150 million more, at the end of Q3 2023, the capital estimate for Marathon was 510. I don't know the exact amount that was spent in Q4, probably somewhere between 45 and 60 million Canadian, right? Between and I think so that probably puts us somewhere between 225 and 265 million dollars Canadian spent on the project between ourselves and Marathon up into the end of 2023, and then subsequently I think we've probably invested somewhere in the order of 40 to 50 million more in Q1 of this year. And yet we've not drawn any of the Sprott facility yet. We're working through the details with our lender there. How it works is you've got to work out the sources and uses such that, once we rebase the project, they know all the details of that, and then their third-party engineers sign off on it. So then we can start working with them as the sources and uses balance so that we can start drawing that on that facility. And I would say that at this stage, without knowing exactly the details of where we're at, we're probably a good almost probably getting close to 300 million invested Canadian into Valentine.
Okay, so when it's fully operating, when everything is ramped up, how many ounces a year is this thing going to produce?
Well, according to the 2022 feasibility study, right, it's it and that's based on 2.7 million ounces of reserves, right? And I think the reserves were calculated at, and I should know this, I think it's around $1,700 an ounce that they were calculated at. Don't quote me on that, but it's in that ballpark, right? And it looked like an average. The first couple of years are a little better because there's a little bit better grades in the first couple of years, but on average, it was about 195,000 ounces for the first 12 years of a 14 and a half year mine life. All-in sustaining costs, again, from the 22 study, were coming in around 1050. Now, look, I mean, again, that's here's the thing about the world of junior exploration development and then production is that companies that don't have cash flow and even companies that do have cash flow, let's face it, we are going to torture assets. We're going to torture gold deposits until they confess the answers that we would like, such that a company can go out and raise money or do something to unlock that value, right? I mean, it's crazy to think that way, but we want the best possible product. Now, Calibre, we think a little bit differently. We want to be able to get the best possible product, but we want to be able to deliver the best possible product as well. So I don't want you thinking that I'm going to produce 300,000 ounces a year when we're going to come in at 200,000 ounces a year. That doesn't do you any good. That does us no good, right? So we need to rebase this, fully understand it. But based on the study and based on the throughput rates, initial throughput rates here are 2.5 million tons. And then in, I think it's year three, you put a regrind circuit in, you get up to 4 million tons a year. But we're looking at some ways to optimize that in the initial couple of years and maybe with some additional tankage in the mill, which we're doing, you'd be able to push that throughput in the first couple of years. But yeah, it's about 195,000 ounces a year. But again, I think our all-in sustaining cost is probably going to be a little bit higher. I don't know where it's going to land, but given the inflation everyone has seen, Is it going to be $1,000 an ounce? And is there many mines out there nowadays that are $1,000 or sub $1,000 an ounce? Not many, right? So, but nonetheless, I shouldn't be too pessimistic or conservative because it is a study and it's all been signed off by third party engineers and it's 2022. It's not like it's, 2015, right? So, but it's going to be a reasonable asset for us. It's going to be an asset I think that is there much longer than the 14 years in the reserve life, right? Because as Darren would often say, we mine the resources in the pits. And we do that on a quarter by quarter, year by year basis as we analyze things going into that year, into that month. And you'll pick up, you'll push benches, you'll pick up other areas that are resources versus reserves, right? You'll maximize the value of that mining operation at the time.
Yeah, and so I was going to say quickly, I don't know how quickly you can answer this. I mean, you touched on it minutes ago, just the execution risk with Valentine.
Sure.
Obviously, I mean, you touched on it. You're doing all the work beforehand to ensure everything is in order. So when you start mining this thing, what do you think is the biggest challenge to having that come out, as your study
Yep.
eventually intends?
I think probably if I'm being pragmatic and logical, based on all the things I've heard from geologists and engineers and even third parties that don't know the asset very well, it's pretty clear to me that it's going to be grade control to the mill. Really understanding the very detailed aspects of grade control, and ensuring that you don't have too much dilution of material going to the mill. And I think the team is putting a pretty rigorous process in place to manage that. That's one obviously, but I think I point that one out because I've heard it a few times by a few of the guys mentioned this. Now, fortunately, we've had third parties that Darren has worked with at his time at Newmont take a look at our resource reserve model, and they feel very comfortable about things. They've pulled it apart, they've put it all back together. People that have worked in these types of deposits before, so that's very encouraging, right? But at the same time, the other aspect would be, once you get up and running, and this is one of the reasons why we brought in the pre-commissioning commissioning team is to ensure that all a lot of your most of your bugs are worked out, taking material, putting the grade through the mill, putting the material through the mill, getting the right metallurgical recoveries and times and details. So it's a ramp up. There's going to be issues. There's no doubt. It's just trying to mitigate the severity and the number of issues such that we can deliver upon expectations. So there's a plethora of different aspects that could go bump in the night, but we've got a good base of human capital there in Newfoundland, a great group of people that are enthusiastic and energetic and get after it. We've brought in a few new people. Just recently, we hired a VP of operations, Jason Sear and Andre on the plant side. So we're starting to really build up that, the additional human capital to dovetail with the projects team as well, such they get some good time and experience and understanding of from this stage going forward, not just jumping into the operations. So but there's no matter what, there's a number of things in any sort of large build like this where you've got to work out the kinks.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the company's valuation. I mean, you and I think we've talked about this a couple of times in the past. I mean, like a month or two ago, before, maybe even before that, I was looking at your valuation pre Newfoundland acquisition. You guys were trading at like 2x cash flow. I mean,
Yeah.
I know the market docks you for Nicaragua. They see that as
Yep.
risky. I mean, it's not Newfoundland. We know that, or it's not Nevada, but there's very few places that are. But to me, that seems really, really low. What do you guys have to do to get the entire company trading at, I mean, 8x cash flow? I mean, if you guys could be trading, I mean, even 6x cash flow in a couple of years, if you could get up to that point, I mean, if that could happen, just that by itself, that potential re-rating is a lot of upside. What do you guys, I mean, in your opinion, what do you have to do to get there?
Well, in all, for any mining company, I think it's the right cycle, right? Let's put that aside for a second because we're obviously getting into this rights cycle, but it's a cycle. It's also execution, operational execution. And I look, I think that our investors are getting more comfortable with us. New investors are hearing from our investors and getting more comfortable with us because, as of Q4 of last year, we have delivered quarter over quarter upon expectations for 17 quarters. So, for a company that, was probably going to be a 50, 60, 70,000 ounce a year producer, having a 28% annualized compound growth rate is pretty impressive without having to go back to the market and raise a bunch more money, right? And so I think people are starting to recognize after 3.5 years, these guys are delivering. They continue to deliver. And they've grown their reserves over 370%. Because that's a knock for sure, Jordan. It's the jurisdiction in which we operate. It's also the reserve and resource base in which we have, really, mine life, right? And yes, we operate in Nicaragua. And those that invest in Calibre have been getting more comfortable with Nicaragua. They see that we can deliver. It's also the question of, okay, well, I'm past that. Now I'm on to the, okay, you've got 1.1 million ounces of reserves. That's not a huge number, Ryan, if you're going to do 250 to 300,000 ounces a year. And I appreciate that. So we continue to invest into these assets, right? Almost every year, we've been doing $20-25 million of exploration work into the properties. So I think that's an aspect where if we can have a even more of a jump than what we've already had, we've demonstrated that we can replace, right? We've definitely demonstrated that because we've produced probably 700 to 750,000 ounces of gold. And we've gone from a base when we acquired the Nicaraguan assets, about 280,000 ounces of reserves, to at the end of 2023, as we've recently seen by our updated R&R, to 1.1 million ounces, right? So these types of assets, these low sulfidation epithermal veins, they require a lot of drilling. And fortunately, we're in a situation where we can find something 100, 200, and again, it's grade dependent, up to 400 kilometers away, utilize the strong, good infrastructure that's in country, and we can haul material around that country to our central processing plants. We still have 1 million tons of surplus capacity at one of those mills. So I guess to your original question, it's just continue to deliver, and it's also increase your reserve life. It's just part of it, right? That's part of the reason why an analyst may not give us, the benefit of a 15-year mine life. It's like, all I can see is this. I can convert some of your resources to reserves, but there's that. But one thing I'll add here is that I believe now that we've done this transaction, and I think this is going to, I believe that this is going to demonstrate an incredibly accretive acquisition for us because 60% of our NAV is now going to be based in North America. You're going to see now a mine in our portfolio that's got an initial 15-year mine life in Canada. And I think we're going to start re-rating on the back of the delivery of that, right? That's going to be important. People see, okay, these guys have produced, they've done that, they've done what they said they're going to do, and probably a little conservative. But I want to see them be able to build this and then this to produce the expected amount of ounces a year, right? So I think there's a bit of hesitation around, okay, there's been a lot of mine builds over the years that have had significant either issues, whether it be delays or production issues or capital costs. So I think that once we get through that and deliver, and we're less than 12 months away, right? So I think that's a big piece of our story as well. And I know we're talking pre Valentine acquisition, you're talking pre, but I think this is a transaction that will help unlock the value re-rate because of a diversified portfolio and a size of company now where we can attract a lot of new types of investors.
Ryan, before we close, is there anything else you would like to mention that we didn't cover that you think our listeners should know about?
Well, you know, I just want to reiterate on the potential for shareholder returns and re-rating. I mean, if you look at us today, we're probably trading on PNAV, on price to net asset value, consensus numbers across, we're probably 0.6, and I think the peer average is right around 0.8. Now, we're talking for a mid-tier gold producer that's producing 400 to 500. Of course, we're not there yet. We're on our way there. So I think you can see the benefit of that. Enterprise value to ounce of production were around $2,000 an ounce versus the peer group that is 4,000, right? So, I mean, it comes down to that. Do you trust the team to deliver upon expectations? I feel like we're in a very, very strong position now. I think the re-rate will continue to happen. Let's assume gold stays where it is. I think the re-rate will continue to happen as we continue to advance this project and then deliver it. And really importantly, I think what's going to be very exciting about 2024 and 2025 is it'll be important to deliver. It'll be important to do what we say we're going to do from a production perspective. But the single most important aspect, in my opinion, for a company, for an investor looking at gold companies, is can these guys find more of what they're mining, right? I think that's highly critical. We're doing 130,000 meters of drilling this year. Every year, we've been very successful with the drill bit, and we continue to put out, you know, very strong results. So I think if we are successful, whether it be in Newfoundland or Nicaragua or Nevada, that's going to have a very positive impact. And you know, every geologist that I've talked to looks at the Newfoundland, the Valentine opportunity, and says there's just huge opportunity in that this looks like an early stage Timmins camp or a Val d'Or, similar rocks, similar geology, orogenic gold deposit with huge, huge upside. And you know, we've defined resources over about 8 kilometers of a 32-kilometer shear zone, and there's a secondary shear zone that is equal in size that's never been drilled and never been looked at. So a lot of potential here. I like where we're sitting today, even though, you know, the stock has done well. But I think we're very early innings here, not only of the gold market, but of the evolution of our company in a positive way. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, great points about exploration. I love how you guys sink so much capital back into the ground. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today and inform my audience more about Calibre or Caliber Mining, as you say.
Yeah.
And you know, all the best to you guys, and hope we can do this again later in the year, see how the build is going at Valentine.
100%. And thanks for the time, Jordan. And if anybody, you know, wants additional information, feel free to come to our site, email me, or I'm sure email Jordan, and we'll get in touch. So thanks very much, Jordan.
Thank you.